let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. To serve the Russian Empire, the autobiography of Boris Erwa by John Elverson is a self-portrait of one man's journey through life, described as a wonderful glimpse into a period few have witnessed, a personal recollection of an intriguing era. John Elverson was born in Kenya during the final years of the British Empire, brought up in England, Malaya, Singapore, Germany, before his father retired to a small East Devon farm. He was educated at Cheltenham College and Reading University, where he studied agriculture, culminating in a job working on a beef cattle ranch. He later worked for a London software company before co-founding, later selling a stake in his own company. He also worked for General Electric. A widower, now retired, living in Scotland's Galloway Hills, best-selling author John Elverson, author of To Serve the Russian Empire, the autobiography of Boris Erwa, joining us on This Week in America. John, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
I'm saying Erwa because that, I guess, is the French pronunciation. Let's start with Boris's last name because there are a couple of interpretations, pronunciations, French and German. Explain the background on that. I said French. Am I safe in using the French pronunciation?
Yes, his descendants used the name Erwa, the French name, which was his great-grandfather was invited to Russia from Paris. He was an architect, and in Russian they pronounce H's as G's. So in Russia he became Gerwa with a hard G.
This is such a fascinating book into a glimpse of a remarkable man as I'm reading this. What was the inspiration for you to tell this story?
Well, the book is an autobiography of Boris. He wrote his memoirs in Russian after his escape from Bolshevik Russia. I translated his memoirs, adding various things, an epilogue, some maps, and an encyclopedia at the end. Boris had sent his family to Sweden before the Russian Revolution because of the state of the country. And at the time, they were fighting Germany in the First World War. In January 1919, Boris himself escaped after the revolution. But his marriage, unfortunately, didn't survive their exile, and he and his wife separated. Boris started a new career in the West as an artist in London in 1920. My mother's aunt was taught at the Chelsea School of Art by Boris, and they ended up living together during his exile. I'd been doing some family history research and thought it would be interesting to compare my grandfather's exploits in World War I on the Western Front with Boris's story against Germany's Eastern Front. Not being a Russian speaker, I thought I could get away with just translating a passage here and there. However, I became so interested in Boris's unique story that I decided to translate his complete memoirs.
Well, it is a unique story. And as John mentioned, you've got the encyclopedia there, you've got drawings, you've got photographs. So you give us some context as you're telling the story. It's a remarkable story, very well detailed as you're reading the book. And I understand what his two grandsons worked with you to validate the translation and get it out there for publication.
Yes, that's right. I met his grandsons, Claude and Alexander. Alexander himself was in charge of a regiment of guards in the British Army. It was very important for him to see the finished result, I think.
Yes, and I'm sure he was quite satisfied with the translation, the story you laid out in the presentation. The book is To Serve the Russian Empire, the autobiography of Boris Erwa by John Elverson, our guest on the program. Books available wherever books are sold. John's website is authorjohnelverson.com. You can link on to that, by the way, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Looking at Boris, what's interesting, the subject of the book has two surnames. Explain why that is.
Well, his surnames were, his surname was really French, but I think the Russians had problems with pronunciation of French surnames, especially with when they had an H, and they tended to substitute the H's with G's, so it really became, it changed from Erwa to Gerwa.
Yes, and that's interesting that it occurred like that. John Elverson, the author of the book, is our guest on the program. How was he selected to be a chamber page at the Tsar's wedding?
Well, Boris was sent to a military school in St. Petersburg. It was called the Corps des Pages. And the school was originally intended for the sons of the nobility and those of high rank in the armed forces. One of their functions was to provide page boys for the royal palaces on state occasions. Boris was selected as a chamber page because he was one of the top performing pupils at his school. Further selection took place to ensure that the contenders could converse fluently in French and that they wouldn't end up dousing a Grand Duchess with a soup course at dinner time or standing on a lady's train on ceremonial occasions.
You know, after his schooling, he was commissioned into a guards regiment. Talk a little bit about that aspect of his life.
Yes, his final military maneuvers as a cadet at Krasno Selo, I apologize for the pronunciation, it's probably completely wrong, which was just south of St. Petersburg, where they did their military maneuvers. And he was spotted by somebody from the Igursky Lifeguards Regiment. And he was commissioned into that regiment in August 1895. The Igursky Regiment was one of the elite Russian Guards regiments, and their task was guard duty in St. Petersburg, in the palaces and other places, such as the Winter Palace, Anichkov Palace, Peter and Paul Fortress, and so on.
You know, it's interesting, the military career, and we've started the path that he went on. He studied for a general staff position. Why was that?
Yes, he started in autumn 1901, entering the military academy in St. Petersburg. His reason was that those that successfully passed the general staff exams could expect an accelerated path to promotion and a path to a generalship in a shorter period than those who remained with their regiments. Boris successfully passed his general staff examinations, graduating in 1904.
What did he do after that? Where was he assigned?
Well, his graduation was known as the Japanese release because there was a war in Manchuria in North China between Russia and Japan. The 30 graduates who had the highest grades were sent to the Far East along the Trans-Siberian Railway. Japan and Russia came to conflict as they were both newly industrialized countries, with Japan regarding Korea as their main source of raw materials and their main marketplace. Russia was anxious to open up trade in the Far East to maximize the return on the expensive and almost finished Trans-Siberian Railway. Boris was originally employed as a messenger and cartographer, He later joined the intelligence office, deciphering telegrams and gleaning information about the Japanese army.
The background is so impressive, and it's in the book To Serve the Russian Empire, the autobiography of Boris Erwa, and that's H-E-R-O-Y-S, by our guest on the program, best-selling author John Elverson. His website is authorjohnelverson.com. After the Japanese War, I believe he went to Kiev. Is that correct?
Yes. In March 1906, he started at the Kiev General Staff, working at the divisional office. He then spent a year in command of a company of the local militia. I think it was the 168th Mirgorod Infantry Regiment.
And then after that, returning to St. Petersburg, talk about that part of his life.
Yes, he returned to St. Petersburg at the end of 1909 to the General Directorate of the General Staff, which were in offices just opposite the Winter Palace in St. Petersburg. In January 1910, he was invited to the Military Academy to conduct tactical studies and to write a thesis for his professoriate, and that was to be the role of maneuver in a decisive battle.
What happened to him during the outbreak of World War One? The world obviously changed dramatically. How did it impact Boris?
Well, his academy was dissolved at the start of World War One, because probably the Russians thought it would be a short war over by Christmas, as they say.
Yes.
And Boris signed up for the Russian Southwestern Front. But on his arrival at Kiev, he became head of censorship, and he started a newspaper called the Army Herald, which was for the frontline troops.
With us on the program is John Elverson. His book is To Serve the Russian Empire, the autobiography of Boris Erwa. The book's available at Amazon. You'll find it at John's website, which is authorjohnelverson.com. Let's talk about that World War One career. Can you sort of briefly summarize his part of that war, what the war, how it impacted him?
Yes, he was, as I say, he started off head of censorship, and he was soon promoted and took command of a regiment, an infantry regiment called the 123rd Kozlovsky, and he led that regiment in action against the Austrian army in Galicia as the Austro-Hungarian forces were driven back towards the Carpathian mountain passes. April 1915, he became chief of staff of the 31st Infantry Division and oversaw the controlled retreat of the Russian divisions back into Russia in the face of the German and Austrian forces during the Mackensen Offensive. In June 1915, he took command of the Izmailovsky Lifeguards Regiment, which was another elite regiment of guards, and he saw action at Krasnystav in July. Krasnystav was near Chelm, which I think is in Ukraine or possibly Belarus.
Yes.
Nowadays. And it followed a fighting rearguard action towards Brest-Litovsk. He was then entrained with his regiment to Vilnius in Lithuania to block the German advance towards St. Petersburg. In June 1916, he was promoted to quartermaster general of the Guards Army, which has moved south to Lutsk to try and prolong the success of the Brusilov offensive and to take the town of Kovel, which was an important railway terminus
Yes. Well, the war ended in 1917 following the revolution. What did he do after that? How did his life change?
Well, he was quite high up in the hierarchy by then. And following the Pyrrhic victory of the so-called Kerensky Offensive, which initially made some ground against the Germans, the Germans soon managed to divert troops to this front, and discipline in the ranks, the Russian ranks, became so bad due to the soldiers' committees and so on that had been introduced during Kerensky's time after the Tsar had abdicated, that Boris decided to call it quits and enroll in the St. Petersburg Military Academy in his old position. Whilst in St. Petersburg, he joined General Swartz in as his second command to try and gain control of the troops that were wandering around in St. Petersburg. His object was to overtly to defend St. Petersburg from the Germans, but covertly to establish a counter-revolutionary force against the Bolsheviks. However, once the Bolsheviks had signed the peace treaty with Germany, his cover was blown and the St. Petersburg force had to be disbanded. The Bolsheviks were gradually closing in on him, and in January 1919, he made his escape by train to the border with Finland. And from there, they waded through the snowfields into Finland. He was initially sent to Paris and then to London to try and gain support for the counter-revolution and the White Army. But following their defeat in November 1920 by the Red Army, Boris decided to become an artist in London, eventually teaching in the Chelsea School of Art.
What just a fascinating life. I've got a minute or so left. What was this? What has this experience been like for you in going back and being able to translate and document his life? What has this meant to you?
Well, I knew bits of his life from what was said within the family, and it was nice to fill in some of the gaps. And I didn't know anything about the Russians in World War One. And I managed to pick up a lot of information, not only about World War One, but also about Russia in general, and the Imperial Russian Empire in particular.
The book is a fascinating read by our guest on the program, bestselling author John Elverson, To Serve the Russian Empire, The Autobiography of Boris Erwa. The book is available wherever books are sold. You find it, of course, at Amazon. You can go to our website, link on, and get information. Or you go directly to John's website, find out more about John and other books that John has written. That's authorjohnelverson.com. And again, you can find all of that by going to our website. John, a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the program. About 30 seconds or so here. What are you working on now? What's the next project for you?
Well, my great-grandfather, his career, he was in a Highland regiment and was sent to the island of Cyprus shortly after Britain acquired it from the Ottoman Empire. And he was sent on a number of expeditions in Palestine.
Yes.
and just before the Egyptian War to secure horses and mules for the British Army.
Well, that sounds like that will be another fascinating read. How far along are you on that?
Well, just filling in some of the gaps and doing some research.
Well, I hope we have... I was just going to say, I hope we have the chance to talk about that as well. A very... a gifted author, best-selling author, John Elverson, with us on the program to talk about To Serve the Russian Empire, the autobiography of Boris Erwa. And again, you'll find it at John's website, which is authorjohnelverson.com. John, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And information on John and all of his books at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.